Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. I'm Seth Demirji, member of the Deutsche Bank Healthcare Banking team. And with us today, we have Anteris Pharmaceuticals, a $500 million market cap pharma company focused on self-injection products and technologies. With that, I'd like to introduce Jack Howarth, VP of Corporate Affairs, and Paul Wotton, President and CEO of Anteris.
Okay, thanks very much, Seth. I'd like to thank Deutsche Bank for inviting us to this conference today. This is our first presentation at Deutsche Bank, and we are delighted to be here. Our mission at Antares is to develop and commercialize self-administered medicines that can be given by injection. Our goal is to make it as easy for someone to give themselves an injection at home as it is to take a tablet. There's a lot of medications out there that can be given by injection, which can actually be made more effective when given subcutaneously at home. Just put up the safe harbor statement here for everyone to read and move on. We are a revenue-generating specialty pharmaceutical company, and this is a pipeline story we have here at Antares. We have significant clinical and regulatory expertise now in developing these drug device combinations or new therapeutic entities, as some call them, which are coupled with a very comprehensive intellectual property portfolio. We think this actually gives us a sustainable competitive advantage in this field. We're a company that is run by pharmaceutical professionals who believe that this device platform can be used widely to create a nice pipeline of intellectual property-protected combination products like Otrexup, which is our NDA, which was filed with the FDA in December. It was accepted on the 26th of February of this year, and we have a PDUFA date coming up of the 14th of October. This is our product, which is injectable methotrexate, subcutaneous methotrexate, given using an auto-injector for use at home. We have our second Vyvanse program, the QST, which is a testosterone replacement therapy, which enters the clinic shortly. I'll talk more about both of these opportunities in a moment. We've just added another pipeline program, the what we call QSM, which is for CNS neurological applications. We have a broad experience with partnerships with companies like Teva, Pfizer, Actavis, Ferring in Europe, and MetaPharma. Some of the recent accomplishments we've had, we had revenue growth in  2012 versus 2011. Our revenues are important to us, and we're gearing up now to get the Otrexup launch worked out, which I think is our biggest goal for the next 6 to 9 months. We had good cash on our balance sheet, $80 million. You can see down below, there's other bullets here, but actually filing that Otrexup NDA in December last year was important to us, and it means that we qualify for a 10-month review cycle. We've added to the pipeline, and there is a product we have with Pfizer, which is in fact an undisclosed OTC product, but there's a lot of speculation as to what that has been recently. I think it's a very interesting product indeed for our company. We've also started commercial shipments to Teva of the epinephrine devices for the generic EpiPen that we have developed. We are shipping product to Teva in order to build the launch quantities of those devices. We have continued to expand our patent portfolio, and last year, I think we filed about 30 patent applications. We've received 8 in that last 12-month period, and we anticipate further patents coming down the road. This is important because for a pipeline story, it's key that you're able to protect the product with platform as well as product-specific patents. We've just completed our first QST user study, which is the testosterone product for men, and I'm pleased to say that everybody that tried the device was able to use it. Recently, we've just added Marvin Sampson to the Antares board of directors, who's an industry veteran, very well known with respect to the injectable area. We're delighted to have Marvin join us. For a company that is relatively small, we have about 45 people in-house right now. All of our manufacturing is contracted out, and we contract out all of our clinical work. The fact is we've got a very deep and very advanced pipeline for a company of our size. I believe that one product per year on average coming out of this pipeline is a very realistic achievement. We've already got products marketed. We have Tevtropin marketed in this country. It's marketed as ZomaJet over in Europe. That product is also sold in Japan, which is our needle-free human growth hormone product. We have Elestrin on the market here, which is a hormone replacement therapy for women. And we have Gelnique 3%, which is being marketed by Actavis. And all of those three products, what they do is provide us with an income stream to enable us to continue to invest in the pipeline below. So we're building this pipeline story, and we've taken control of our own destiny now with products like Atrexup and QST. But you can see that we still have a very important relationship with Teva, and we continue to progress all of those programs. And then we also have two gel products, which are leftover products from a business we had owned in Switzerland, which we sold, Nestrogel, and then we have the obviously Elestrin and Gelnique products there, where we kept the royalty streams of those products. Our Invas injectable portfolio is key for this company. We are the only US-based company with patented auto-injector, multi-dose pen, and needle-free injection technology. So we actually have all three platforms that people use these days. What we're trying to do is to find clinically meaningful applications for these platforms where you can actually improve the performance of a drug like Atrexup, which is designed to make self-administration of methotrexate easier for rheumatoid arthritis patients and psoriasis patients. And what we're trying to do is to optimize the clinical benefit of methotrexate. And it's well known out there that methotrexate can be improved upon, particularly at doses of 15 milligrams or greater, where the drug is not well absorbed orally, and we'll see that in a minute. And there are a lot of head-to-head studies where people have done subcutaneous methotrexate comparisons with oral methotrexate, and we have a publication list later on, where the utility of subcutaneous methotrexate is really well known, and it's widely used in Europe, and we will be the first company in the U.S. to come out with a subcutaneous approval from the FDA. The Vibex QS is a technology platform that is designed to enhance the delivery of viscous medications, and a lot of biological agents actually are quite highly viscous, and we're actually choosing to develop testosterone, which is an oily injection, using our QST platform. And with this particular product, it's going to be a once-weekly shot of testosterone for hormone replacement for men, men with low T. And the product itself will give yourself an injection of testosterone subcutaneously in about 4 to 5 seconds, and it's a very comfortable device to use. And with Teva, of course, we have our programs, which I'll talk about later on, but this actually has been an important relationship for us, and it continues to go well. And Teva have been very, very helpful to this company as we've grown. Just like to talk about Atrexup now, which is the big event for us in the short term. This is subcutaneous methotrexate given using an auto-injector. And it's available in strengths up from 10 milligrams up to 25 milligrams. And the key thing here is that the auto-injector will deliver the drug in half a second under the surface of the skin. We tell patients to hold the device onto the skin for about 3 seconds to make sure that they complete the dose. And the dose volume in every case is very small. It's 400 microliters, which means it's a very comfortable dose for a patient to give themselves, and they'll be able to administer it either to the leg or to the abdomen. It's a compelling opportunity. It will be the first subcutaneous methotrexate product approved in this country for self-administration. It's a single-use device intended for once-weekly administration in the dose range from 10 to 25 milligrams. It's very convenient to use. It's three easy steps. Patients can basically take the cap off, flick up the safety, and then give themselves the injection. And the patient never sees the needle. This is important because it reduces any patient apprehension and actually supports compliance. It's very easy to use for patients with rheumatoid arthritis. One of the key things that we did in our clinical trials to make sure that patients with hand impairment, this was moderate to severe hand impairment, could actually use the product, and they found it very easy to use. And it's also a very comfortable injection to take. And trust me, I've given myself an injection with this device, and it is a very comfortable thing to use. The safety is important here as well, because the other piece of methotrexate is that it was originally developed as a cytotoxic agent. It's something that you need to enclose if you can. And what you don't want to do is have any inadvertent exposure to other family members who might be in the house when you're using it. But our device is self-contained. It delivers 99.99% of the dose of methotrexate, so there's very little residue left, and that's all that's left in the device. So from a safety perspective, it's a very safe product as well. And the locking needle shield that we have on it actually reduces the risk of any accidental needle sticks with the product. It's a large market. The RA market alone in this country today is actually worth about $17 billion. Most of the value of that market is driven by the biologicals. And psoriasis itself is currently about a $5 billion market, again, driven by the biologicals. And what we're developing with Atrexup is a product that's going to be able to fit into the treatment paradigm for rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis patients. But it's also compatible with the use of biologicals because better methotrexate use also prolongs the usefulness of some of the biological agents and actually reduces the likelihood of some of them having immunogenicity issues. With one interesting statistic here, actually 22% of patients who are on oral methotrexate actually discontinue product because of side effects just related to the gastrointestinal tract, which is things like diarrhea. And obviously with the injectable methotrexate, what you get is all of the efficacy, but you actually reduce those gastro side effects. And the other part about this which is important is that rheumatologists understand the value and utility of subcutaneous methotrexate. They know that it's efficacious. They know that when you stack it up head-to-head against oral, it's going to be a product that can give you better dose qualities. And it's a market which already uses quite a lot of methotrexate today. There's about 2.5 million cases of rheumatoid arthritis in the U.S. About 60% of those are drug-treated. And this data, by the way, comes from market research we just finished with Decision Resources as we plan to get the product launched. About 1.4 million of these patients actually have moderate to severe rheumatoid arthritis, and at least half of those are using methotrexate as a drug. In fact, every RA patient eventually does take methotrexate. And of those patients, about half again are on doses of 15 milligrams or more. So there's hundreds of thousands of patients potentially accessible for us to treat. It's the foundation of RA treatment. It's used alone or in combination with biologics. The ACR guidelines actually suggest the use of methotrexate monotherapy. The AAD guidelines actually also talk about using parenteral methotrexate in the treatment of psoriasis. And I actually think that the compatibility we have with the biologics is quite high, and we believe that our product is going to fit really nicely into that treatment paradigm. This is all the literature that shows the utility of subcutaneous methotrexate. The key study here at the top is Braun, which is a phase 3 study, 375 patients, which was looking at the efficacy of subcutaneous methotrexate. It was a European study, head-to-head against oral methotrexate. And what they found there was the efficacy was actually better than oral with no increased incidence of any adverse events. There's a lot of other studies here which have published more recently. In fact, one of the things you will notice in the literature is that there's been a plethora of publications, particularly in the last 2 to 3 years, mainly coming out of Europe, for advocating the use of subcutaneous methotrexate. And this is why. So on this graph here, we actually have the relative systemic availability of 10 milligram, 15, 20 milligram, and 25 milligrams of methotrexate that shows you the difference between oral and subcutaneous methotrexate. The light blue bars there show that above a dose of 15 milligrams, you essentially get the same systemic availability of the drug. So if you're taking 25 milligrams, there's 10 milligrams of drug that are basically being wasted. Whereas if you see the dark blue graph bars there, that's the Atrexup systemic availability. And you can see you get dose proportionate increases there. And this is what physicians are looking for. They want to be able to dose patients with methotrexate subcutaneously. And what they get with our device is a very precise dose. So they know what the patient is taking all the time. And you can see here that what we're doing is extending the dose availability of methotrexate using subcutaneous. We've done a lot of work in patients. One of the important things when you're doing a device combination product is to actually make sure that patients can use it. We had a usability study where RA patients were able to use it, and these are patients that had moderate to severe hand function impairment. And this is really important because the alternative, if you think about it, could potentially be a needle and syringe, and these patients can't handle pulling out drug from a vial with a needle and syringe. And most of them actually can't even put a lure lock onto a needle onto the syringe. But what we have here is a device that's very easy for them to use. The results of the actual human use study we conducted showed that self-administration of methotrexate using Atrexup is safe and well-tolerated in RA patients. And 98% of the patients that actually used Atrexup found it very easy to use. And another important element here is that there's a instructions for use manual that has to go in every combination product. I'm pleased to say that 100% of the patients actually trialed were able to use the device as planned. And this, overall in these studies, we've probably looked at about 200 patients in total. Importantly, the other piece of information which is key to the success of this product is the lack of pain when patients self-inject. Getting rid of that apprehension, and there's about 30% of people are actually needle phobic, but getting rid of that apprehension is important from a compliance point of view as well. And on a score of 0 to 100, the most patients actually scored 2 or less, but our average was around 3, and this included a couple of patients who obviously had slightly higher scores. But the key thing here is that for pretty much every patient that used it, it was a pain-free experience. And importantly, there were no treatment-emergent serious adverse events related to the subcutaneous administration of the drug. So coming out of our market research that we completed just recently, the greatest need that we uncovered in rheumatoid arthritis was for therapy with better efficacy, more reasonably priced alternatives to biologics, and a subcutaneous device for methotrexate. And we actually already knew that physicians wanted to have a subcutaneous device for methotrexate from work we'd done a few years back. And this is the key thing, is what they want is a reliable device that allows for precise dosing, and that's exactly what the Atrexup product does. We know that from the work we've done that rheumatologists will consider using Atrexup in patients needing 15 or greater milligrams per week of oral methotrexate. This is a drug that's given once a week, and they recognize the benefits. Rheumatologists already know the benefits of using parenteral methotrexate. What we're doing here is making it easier for them to get patients access to parenteral methotrexate. As one comment here from a rheumatologist, it's a safe device with easy administration. You don't have to handle the needle, and getting the medication is easy too. Methotrexate is an interesting drug on its own, however, and this is another recent publication from Arthritis and Rheumatism in February of this year. And this was a study that actually looked back over 5,500 patients with rheumatoid arthritis who'd been treated over the past 25 years, and they cut the data to look like a phase 3 trial. And in actual fact, what we have here is a finding that the use of methotrexate in RA patients was associated with a 70% reduction in mortality. So there's every reason for patients to actually be on methotrexate, because there's a lot of evidence now that it actually helps patients over the longer term. And this is key for us. I think methotrexate in general is probably a very effective anti-inflammatory agent overall. It's also got utility in psoriasis, and this is a chronic skin disorder. It affects men and women equally, beginning at any age between 20 and 30 or 50 and 60. In general, though, the psoriasis patient is probably going to be younger than a rheumatoid arthritis patient. Both topical and systemic therapies are available for the treatment of psoriasis, and the mild to moderate cases of the disease can probably be adequately managed with topical agents. But it's the patients with a severe disease that will need systemic therapy with methotrexate. And as I mentioned earlier, the biologics already command about a $5 billion market value in psoriasis, and it's growing. And it's true, actually, that methotrexate has already been used successfully in the treatment of psoriasis for over 30 years. It's given once weekly like it is for RA. It's also dosed at the same levels as it is for RA. And we think this is a very interesting opportunity for Antares to pursue in psoriasis. So with That product, Atrexup, just to summarize, we have the PDUFA date coming up in October. Our intent is to launch the product in the first quarter of 2014. And this is most of the focus of the company right now, because this is our major event this year in 2013. So I'm really pleased to say that things are going well. We've had our mid-cycle review with the agency, and the questions we got from them were really manageable for us to answer. And so now what we're doing is just gearing up towards the PDUFA date of October the 14th and starting to manufacture product. Talking about the QST, the testosterone replacement therapy product we're developing, this is potentially the first self-administered auto-injector testosterone product for men, and we again have filed IP around this subcutaneous use of testosterone, particularly with an auto-injector. The current prescriptions actually are interesting. About two-thirds of the prescriptions today are given as topical gels, but one-third are given as deep intramuscular injections by a healthcare professional. It's about a $2 billion market opportunity today, and it's projected to grow to about $5 billion in 2017. There's almost 6 million prescriptions a year now. It's growing 20% annually. And interestingly enough, only about 10% of patients who should be treated are actually going to their doctor and asking for treatment. So there's a large sort of unmet need out there right now. What we've seen in our market research studies, and we've just completed some new work, is that gel patients often don't achieve adequate absorption or therapeutic response. The other thing about gels is there's a massive transference issue now. There's a black box warning on all of them. And I think that's a real problem that we can actually address with subcutaneous testosterone. And all the work we've done to date has shown that the subcutaneous route is actually a viable way to give testosterone. We use our QS device, as I mentioned earlier, which will inject the product in about 4 or 5 seconds or slightly less. We're also developing a once-weekly injectable. The current injection regimen requires an injection every 2 or every 4 weeks. This is associated with a very high peak of the drug in the blood initially, and then by the time you get to the fourth week, for example, most patients have subtherapeutic levels of testosterone in their bloodstream. The half-life of testosterone is about 7 to 8 days, so what we're doing here is designing a product that can be given in sync with a half-life, and what we'll be able to do there is modulate the blood levels much more effectively. Physicians we've talked to believe that weekly self-injection will actually improve patient compliance and deliver optimized serum testosterone levels. And the other part of this is, just like with methotrexate, the self-contained auto-injector actually avoids any transference issues you'll see, and there'll be very little residue of the drug left, and it will be self-contained. So the potential for transference is obviously minimized. The QS is actually designed for use with highly viscous injections like testosterone. It was developed originally in anticipation of the oncoming biological opportunities, and what we found out was testosterone is not the only drug that's formulated in a viscous medium like an oil, but with testosterone it was a market opportunity that seemed right, and all of the data we obtained in terms of our market research confirmed that opportunity. And I think that we are a company that with this particular drug is in the right place at the right time with the right platform. We've had a pre-IND meeting with the agency, and we've agreed the clinical path. We're just about to start dosing in man fairly shortly. We anticipate a market launch sometime in 2016 for the product, and we believe that this is going to be a big opportunity, and I think in terms of sales levels, it's probably going to be larger than the Atrexup product for us. One of the things that both the Atrexup and the testosterone QST share is that we've tried to develop products that can be taken out to specialist markets, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but before I go there, let's just talk about Teva and Antares, because this is actually a collaboration which we've had a lot of success with. We've got products on the market, Tevtropin, already. The way to think about our relationship with Teva is we obtain royalties on device sales somewhere in the sort of 10 to 12% range of their net sales, whichever platform we're looking at. That's a question I always get asked. But we have two products in at the FDA right now. We have the auto-injector for epinephrine. We were the first to file an ANDA, and we anticipate that we will get an AB rating on that. The fact is that everyone at Antares, we've completed all of our components of the work program now, and it's really in Teva's hands to see this across the finish line. We also have a sumatriptan product, which we have filed with the agency. Again, it's an ANDA against Imitrex. And right now, we've restructured our transaction with Teva to get a 50-50 deal in place, and we are working on some amendments to that file, which we intend to file this year. We also have two pen injector products. These are disposable products, but pen injectors are the type of technology that's used to deliver some of the diabetes products, for example. One device will carry, say, 30 days' supply of a drug in it. We've got one where we actually anticipate an ANDA filing in the next 6 months, which we call Pen-1, and one which is a 505b2 program that's completed the pharmacokinetic work, which will be filed in Europe ahead of the US, by the way. Both of these programs are confidential, and the reason is that Teva don't want them disclosed, and under our agreement, we're not going to do that. Financial overview for the company. We have cash and cash and investments of $80.3 million. We've actually grown the revenues over the past few years, as you can see there. But one point I want to make is the reason we chose Atrexup as a product to launch our sales is because the sales and marketing expenses associated with such a sale are very affordable for a company like Antares. We will be bringing 25 reps out into the field for Atrexup. With those reps, you can hit 80% of the high prescribers of methotrexate and rheumatology products in the country. There's only 3,000 rheumatologists in this country. And so we're very, I think we're going to be very effective in terms of our sales force utilization. We're anticipating sales and marketing costs associated with this of somewhere between $12 and $15 million a year, including sales force costs. We've already got five national account managers, which we've trained up, starting to connect with the managed care groups. We've talked extensively to managed care in the past few months about this product, and I'm pleased to say that those discussions have gone well. And right now we've got a commercial team in Ewing, which we've built up. We've built up a strategic commercial team within Ewing, headed by LaRue Juesta, who joined us from previously Cephalon, essentially. LaRue launched Enbrel. The marketing team underneath LaRue, our managed care team, and we also have a medical communications guy join us as well. Every single one of them has been associated with the launch of a TNF-alpha product one way or another. So we've actually got a rheumatology specialist team in-house at Antares now. So we're very excited about this launch, and personally I can't wait to get it out to the market. And on average over the next 5 years, what I believe is true is that we will get one product on average out of this pipeline each year for the next 5 years. The growth driver for us is our own products, the QST and the Atrexup products, where we're going to enjoy all of the revenues from those products. And we're very disciplined when it comes to choosing which products to develop. We go from the market and then work our way back to what the product profile should be in order to make sure it's going to be a success. So that's the pipeline and the potential timing of the product launches. This is a pipeline story. We've worked very hard to protect the IP around our devices. I believe we're a unique company. I think we're one of the leaders in this drug-device combination space right now. And for us, I think we're very well positioned, particularly in the injectable space with drug-device combination work. Our goals for the next 12 to 18 months, well, I can talk about a lot of goals because we have a lot of them internally, but really the two key ones for us, I think, are to get the Atrexup approval and the launch underway. And the second one is to make sure that the QST program goes through the initial clinical study, and that's one that we're working very hard to make sure we complete in a timely fashion, because I believe that market opportunity is large for us at Antares. So with that, I think I've completed my prepared speech, and I'm prepared to take some questions if there are any.
Hey, good morning. First of all, what is the annual subcutaneous methotrexate volume prescriptions in the U.S.?
Actually, right now, methotrexate is not approved for subcutaneous use.
Okay. What about for injection?
For injections, it's a good question. Prior to the injectable drug shortage, which started out in about 2009, 2010, methotrexate parenteral administration had gone from 4% to 8% of prescriptions. And these were the methotrexate prescriptions. And doctors had identified the need for parenteral use because they were getting better data with it. And obviously, you know, what we did in our initial market research was the comments we got back from physicians would, if there was a subcutaneous device that was available, they would double or treble the amount of prescriptions they would write for parenteral methotrexate. So I'm anticipating that at peak, we'll probably be looking at somewhere between 15 and 20% of methotrexate scripts.
So what is the scripts? The total scripts of methotrexate?
Methotrexate in the country per year, about 5.7 million.
5.7. So the injection is 8% of that.
It was 8% of that.
It was.
Prior to the
shortage. It's about 400,000.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And then how do you anticipate the pricing of your drug, Otrexup?
Well, we're still in discussions with managed care at the moment, but what I would say is the price point for this product, if for a patient to have an administration either in a doctor's office or administered by a clinical professional because it's an intramuscular injection, the average cost of that is about $125 a week, so our price point would be very similar to that.
That includes, is that the drug cost or it actually includes the labor?
That includes the labor as well, yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to expect to get a $125, you probably get a fraction of that.
No, actually we're anticipating a premium on that, based on the discussions we've had with managed care.
So out of the $125, how much is the drug, how much is the physician or nurse cost?
I actually don't have that breakdown available, but to get to your point, which I think is how much are we going to be charging for this per year, is that we anticipate probably we'll be looking at somewhere around $500 to $600 per month per patient.
$500 to $600 per month. And also the other follow-up question is exactly what is the advantage of your technology? I understand that the 30% of the patients are needle-phobic, so therefore your device will make them feel as if there were nothing happened. And other than that, like in your first drug, you have a subcutaneous. Do you have, like, a clinical superiority vis-a-vis, let's say, intramuscular, other than the inconvenience and the pain, do you have better efficacy data or less side effect? In other words, how do you, what are the sustainable advantages?
Yeah, that's a good question. And in actual fact, there's a lot of literature data out there which shows that subcutaneous methotrexate, most of this comes from Europe where it's been approved for a number of years. Subcutaneous methotrexate, head-to-head against oral, gives you better efficacy without any increased side effects. And the advantage that subcutaneous has over intramuscular is a patient can self-administer a subcutaneous injection at home. They can't give an intramuscular injection at home. And in the case of testosterone, for example, which is the other drug we have in there, giving yourself a deep intramuscular shot with testosterone is not advised because if you hit a major blood vessel, you're going to end up with some form of embolism. Whereas with a subcutaneous injection, there's very little risk that you're going to achieve that. So what we're doing is we're facilitating a way for a patient to give themselves the injection at home instead of having to go to the doctor's office. And it's more cost effective for the patient. And in fact, if you talk to physicians as well, it's better for them. These rheumatologists are very, very busy and they want to see patients and cure them rather than giving them injections in their office. Thank you. Good questions.
Just to what degree does your technology play in a biosimilars world? Are you working on any projects at this point? And would that change your one product per year over the next 5 years if that market were to come to greater fruition?
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good question. I think that I really can't give you a clear answer on what the future of biosimilars holds because, you know, we're in quite close contact with a number of companies on biosimilar programs. Without exception, they're all looking at what this means for them in terms of R&D investment, because for a biosimilar program today, it's likely you're going to probably have to spend somewhere in the sort of $100 million range for the development process, which means that there's a very self-selecting group that is able to be able to do this. They tend to be bigger companies, obviously. The second piece is that there really is still in this country no clear guideline as to what's going to be required in terms of submitting a biosimilar package. And I think that when that becomes clearer, people will start to develop those programs more rapidly. But I do believe that the technology we have is very appropriate for that type of market, particularly the viscous injector we have up here as well. We can give doses up to about 2 or 3 milliliters from this QS device. Ideally, you want to give less than a mil. Most biologicals tend to be 0.8 mil. Actually, I don't know why that is, but it's true. I think that the technology we have is the right type of technology for that. But will there be a biosimilar launched in the next 5 years with our technology? I don't think so. These are going to be long-term development programs.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.